Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
I'm Heidi, practitioner of the day, along with lovely Cindy, and Leo did the meditation, and Wanda here. And we always give a little talk about how you can access prayer and get prayer from us. But what I want to say today is I thank the practitioners, for I rely on prayer. And one of the ways is I love morning prayer, 5 minutes video in the morning. You don't even have to show your face, but there's always something, and different practitioners do prayers in different ways and different readings. It's just a lovely thing. So thank you for that. And won't you join me today in an opening prayer? I bring all of me right here, right now. I'm ready for all of life, all of spirit. What an amazing place, and what an amazing time to be a sacred human, knowing what we know, that everything is spirit. And I know that when I see your faces, I see beauty everywhere, and I feel joy. And when I'm thrown off, I remember to remember what really matters. Love is what matters. Love is what grounds us and keeps us connected. I'm so grateful for that connection. I let go, I let God, and so it is.
I want to join you in knowing that this time of transition for your community unfolds perfectly in every possible way, and that just as you have enjoyed wonderful leadership with Reverend Andrea and now with Reverend Bob, you are attracting the perfect new minister. And this person's going to be the best possible person to lead you forward, yes? Because we believe in the power of the word, yes? Okay. And I want to offer you this wonderful affirmation from Eddie Watkins Jr. And he says, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I just know it's going to be great. So repeat after me. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I just know it's going to be I don't know how it's going to turn out. I just know it's going to be great. So anytime in this process where you're like, are we going to attract a great minister? Is the right person coming? That's your affirmation. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. My talk today is entitled The Eightfold Noble Path, which of course refers to the Buddhist teaching on suffering and how to overcome it. Now, today marks the fifth Sunday in a row. It's an old reunion here. It's a big reunion. This is the fifth Sunday in a row that I am speaking. And when I was in the pulpit, I spoke most Sundays. And then I retired. And as I have been interim minister, I fly out to St. Louis and do two Sundays a month. So I'm used to doing two Sundays a month. And now this is the fifth in a row. And what I am finding is that I keep coming back to this theme of suffering. And what it seems that there are a lot of, I was in the pulpit for like 15 years, and I wasn't talking about suffering every Sunday, but I seem to be talking about suffering a lot lately, because it seems to me that there's a lot of people that I'm aware of that are suffering. So it seems to be a good topic, right? And, you know, this is new thought. This is science of mind. We're very positive. We're very cheerful. We're very upbeat. And we don't like to talk about suffering a lot. But sometimes you need to. So here's a quick recap in case anyone's forgotten or didn't know the basic teachings of the Buddha. Everyone experiences suffering. Is there anyone here in the room or watching at home who has never suffered? Okay, look around. We're all in good company, yes? We're all in good company. Everybody suffers. The Buddha was obsessed with the question, why is there sickness, old age, and death? This was the question that he was obsessed with. And he discovered the answer. Does anyone want to know why there is sickness, old age, and death?
Yes.
Birth. That is the cause of sickness, old age, and death. Now, the cause of all mental... And actually, what is the first thing that happens when you're born into a body? Right? Welcome to Earth. Welcome to Earth, Earthling. We suffer. The body is wired to experience pain. Now, the cause of all mental anguish is attachment. That is, clinging to the belief that things should be different than they are. All of your mental... There's pain, that's a particular kind of suffering. And then there's the anguish that you pile on top of it. That's the suffering that we're going to be talking about today. So here are some beliefs that cause people suffering. You should love me like I need you to. The election should have gone the way I wanted it to. Reverend Andrea shouldn't ever want to retire. I should win the lottery. Okay, I read this thing. Your chances of winning a big lottery are the same as if you were struck by lightning in the same spot 11 times. Not great. No one that I care about should ever die. That's another big cause of suffering. And the way to freedom from all this mental anguish is non-attachment. And the way to achieve non-attachment is slide the Eightfold Noble Path, okay? This is the Eightfold Noble Path. Right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. So just do that, and you're good. If it was only that easy. I don't have time this morning to talk about all 8 spokes on the wheel of the Eightfold Noble Path. So I'm going to focus on one this morning, which is right mindfulness. And I begin by asking, is there anyone here or watching at home who would like to suffer less? Wonderful. You're in the right place. Since all of your mental anguish is caused by your mental attachments, the useful thing to do when you notice that you are suffering is to ask yourself, what am I attached to? So the first thing, it's really a good idea to notice that you are suffering. And on top of that is to notice that it's your thoughts that are causing your suffering. Right? So what do you attach to? You have a belief that something either should be happening or not happening. All of your mental anguish is caused because you believe that something should be happening that isn't, or shouldn't be happening that is happening. Whatever it is, consider the possibility that this attachment is not a truth, it's just a desire, an idea, or a belief. This is right mindfulness. This is right mindfulness, to become mindful of how you are causing your own suffering and diagnosing it. And have you noticed that we live in a time when people believe all kinds of things that are absolutely not true? Yes. It's not just them. I mean, I occasionally cause myself some suffering because I can't believe that there are still people in the Flat Earth Society. And sometimes it really bothers me. And it's none of my business. Okay? You, being a human being who may not have attained enlightenment and complete freedom from all attachments, most likely also believe something that you're certain is true but totally isn't true. So we have our judgments about the people that we look out there and say, I can't believe you believe that. the whole time that we ourselves are believing things that are absolutely not true. I've got this bad medical diagnosis because God hates me. That is a belief, and it's not uncommon. It's not true. You got the diagnosis because you have a body and your number came up. Because the cause of physical suffering and sickness is having a, right? It's not personal. The only souls who are guaranteed not to get a fatal disease are souls that don't have bodies. Here's another related false belief. I'm in pain because I'm not spiritual enough. Now, in our teaching, in what we believe, there's a couple of statements that are really powerful and they cause a lot of people a lot of trouble and misgiving. And that is, we believe in the control of conditions through the power of the mind, and we believe in the healing of the sick through the power of the mind. And I believe that those things are true. And sometimes your mind, your mentality, your prayers, your consciousness is not of a vibration that will heal the particular disease that you have. And that's where people in our teaching especially will get this idea. If I'm just more spiritual, if I pray harder, if I have more people praying for me, you know what I'm talking about, yes? Okay. And it is a false belief that if you are more spiritual, or that you need to be more spiritual in order to not have physical illness. Jesus died a very painful death, and he was pretty spiritual. The Buddha died from eating poisoned mushrooms. The Hindu saint Ramana Maharshi took 4 years to die of bone cancer with a blissful smile on his face. If you wonder why you got shot in the head, the Buddha would say, you got shot in the head because your head was in the perfect spot to get shot. Here's another belief or attachment that causes suffering. Nothing unfortunate should ever happen to me or the people I love. That is a false belief. That is a serious delusion that only causes you suffering. Because this, as Edwin Gaines says, is the party planet. This is the planet where you get to experience all these things. You know, we're all start out as angels and we're circling the Godhead and angelic choirs and music that sounds like spa music for millennia. And then at some point we get sick of it and we've had enough of that and we decide to come here where there is light and dark, love and hate, pleasure and pain. Amen? This is the place where you get to experience those things. There's another false belief. People I don't like should suffer. I refer back to the election. This teaching of the Buddhas is very good news because through mindfulness, you can free yourself of all mental anguish. And this is the essence of science of mind, by the way. Change your thinking.
Change your life.
Change your thinking.
Change your life.
It's out there. I'm not saying anything that's new. There's nothing new under the sun. That's why we call it new thought, ancient wisdom. I've been serving as the interim minister for CSL St. Louis for 14 or 15 months. And I got a great lesson in right mindfulness during my tenure there. Now, when the opportunity to apply to be the interim minister in St. Louis came up, the person in charge of the program gave me a big warning. And she said, there's an opening in St. Louis, and the place is a mess. It's a mess spiritually, it's a mess emotionally, it's a mess financially. It's a mess, like there's a big mess, okay? And she was telling the truth. and it wasn't like here, so I'm inviting you to just count your blessings. Because this place is great, and Andrea is great. And I'm very happy for Reverend Bob and a teeny bit jealous. Okay. Because of how things unfolded with the departure of the outgoing ministers, lots of people were angry, grieving, and upset. The board was exhausted by months, if not years, of drama. They weren't tithing. They were operating in the red. The bylaws were a mess. The building was in desperately need of a clear out and a clean up, all of which proved to be true. And I'm happy to report that after 14 months, the center is tithing. And you know what happened the month after they started tithing? They started operating in the black.
Amazing.
Because it's a thing called spiritual law. Okay. Junk has been thrown out. Things that needed repainting have been repainted. People who were hurting have had the time and the opportunity and the companioning they needed to heal. The bylaws have been revised, which was tedious and took a long time. And they approved. Their collective work and consciousness has also attracted a great candidate that they are considering next month. So all is well as an unfolding as it should. Now, a lot of my time there has been a great joy, and I've also been required to have what we euphemistically call crucial conversations. And I have had to ask, or more accurately require people to do certain things and follow certain rules that has really pissed them off. And that was very difficult for me because I am a people pleaser. And my attachments, my false beliefs, were that everyone should like me all the time and that if someone is angry with me, it's always my first fault and I'm a bad person. That was the cocktail of my attachments. People should like me all the time and they should never be mad at me. And if someone is mad at me, it's absolutely my fault and I have to do anything and everything I can as quickly as possible to erase or relieve their anger. Anybody besides me? Yeah. And I got worse when I found every time I had to confront a toxic personality, it was very painful. And it got worse when I found out that one of those persons started telling outrageous lies about me. Juicy. Oh, so juicy. And of course, the person had to rush and tell me that they were doing that. And when I first heard about it, I got so upset and I thought, how dare they do that? I am going to file an ethics complaint with Home Office. I'm going to confront them and denounce them and make them pay for that. I was freaking out. What about my reputation? Which is another attachment. Just everywhere. Fortunately, I have been living the science of mind for 29 years, and I actually have daily spiritual practice. What a concept. And praying about the situation, I started asking useful questions like, why would someone spread very blatant, negative, and easily disproved lies about me? Why would somebody do that? You know, one of the lies was that I was fired from CSL Seattle. I resigned, and people were heartbroken when I left. I was not fired. And then they said that I had left Amazing Grace Spiritual Center in the red, and I operated it. Colette and I operated it in the black for 12 years. These are very easily things, you know, lies to be contradicted. And then I thought, well, it seems to me that they are telling these lies because they believe I am their enemy. They believe that the changes I'm bringing to the center are a threat to them or something precious to them. And that led me to the realization that I am no one's enemy. I am no one's enemy. I am a person of goodwill. I really, genuinely want everyone to be happy, to be free, to be prosperous, and to be well. And that led me to the realization that since I'm no one's enemy, I have no enemies. The promise is, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's in the Bible. So I am no one's enemy, and I have no enemy. And the universe is truly conspiring for our good. And that is true of the other person. They have no enemy either, because we're all one. And I was moved by compassion, and it became very easy to pray for their highest and best good. Right mindfulness liberated me from all concern about the situation, and I am free. I have learned that in standing up for what is right, sometimes people become very angry, and that is perfectly okay. They are just working out something inside themselves. In closing, well, I have another little story I want to tell, and then I'll close. There was a woman who lived in the time of the Buddha, and she was a single mother, and she had a son. And the son died, and she was just distraught. She just, you know, in that culture especially, the son was everything. And she just could not get over this death. She couldn't get past it. And a year went by, and she was just distraught, miserable, unable to go on. And she went to the Buddha, and she said, "Buddha, I know that you are a spiritual master. Can you bring my son back from the dead?" And he said, "Yes. What you need to do is you need to find a household that does not know death." And so she started going to all of her neighbors. And as it turned out, every house that she went to, the cat had died, the daughter had died, the great-grandfather had died, the cow had died, the oxen had died, the falcon they had trained to hunt had died, the horse had died, the sister had died, the mother had died, somebody had died. And she just really believed that if she could find a household that didn't know death, she would get her son back. So she kept going. And of course, what happened over that time is she just became very connected to people and their stories and their grief about death. And she developed great compassion for people who had lost someone or something they loved, as she had. And she became a very wise listener, and eventually became a Buddhist nun, and eventually became enlightened. All of the suffering that you experience, all of the suffering that you witness in the people around you, in society and in the world, it serves a purpose. It's never random. It's never too much. It all unfolds. It comes from a particular source, and it works itself out. Take a second and think about the things in your past that have caused you suffering that are no more. How many things you have suffered over and you don't even remember anymore that they caused you suffering? The thing you didn't buy, the person you didn't get, the job you didn't get, the way you got fired, the bicycle that got a flat tire, the car accident. Myriads of things that have caused you suffering over the years. And a lot of them, you don't even remember anymore. Everybody take a deep breath and let it go. In closing, I want to point out that Ernest Holmes talked about this in What We Believe. And it's my favorite line, and it goes like this. We believe the ultimate goal of life to be a complete emancipation from all discord of every nature, and that all are sure to attain this goal. That is the promise. All of your suffering, all of the suffering that you witness in the world, everything that moves you to compassion will pass. That is the way of the material plane. Sometimes your attachments, your false beliefs are so ingrained you can't even see them. That's why it's great to have a minister, a practitioner, or a prayer partner, because we all have blind spots. Amen? You know, things that you are so attached to because you believe that is the way things are, and it is absolutely a lie. It's absolutely not true. You see it in the people around you, your friends that you go to lunch with, and they have been complaining about this one thing for 30 years. That would be an attachment. But through right mindfulness, you can liberate yourself from all of that, because as we know, thoughts are things. This is the basis of science of mind. The time is now for spring cleaning up here and in here where it really counts. Amen?